אני רוצה לבדוק אם אנשים שעכשיו הגיעו, אתם בסדר עם אנגלית או צריך תרגום? בגלל כמובן יש אפשרות. So I want to just talk for 10-15 minutes, some kind of guidance or instruction, and then there'll be a guided meditation. And we started this retreat with emphasis on attitude, and we usually come to meditation practice with a strong kind of message in the mind that I have to have certain experiences. I have to succeed, I have to have samadhi experiences, quiet, concentration, mindful awareness more than 5 minutes at a time. And we started with quite a lot of guidance on attitude. And I think it's even more important these days when we need qualities out in the world, which is so insecure and challenging, especially these days, that we do learn more about attitudes, because these attitudes are not only helping us actually to go deeper in meditation, but they're attitudes that we really need in daily life. I remember in one of the pubs I went to, I did about 30 visits to pubs in Israel, giving talks and some meditations, people with a beer on the table. But one guy came up to me and he said, "If I practice mindfulness, will everything be all right and I will be happy?" And I had to say, it needs a bit more than that. But it's really important that we understand that, because of the practice inside this retreat, but in our life. So metta, for example, is a practice, but it's also an attitude. It's an attitude with which we get up in the morning. It's something we already have. Nobody is without love. We all have love as built into the cells, ta'im, built into our heart. We know what love is from the moment gil efes. So metta is an attitude and a relationship with experience, and it's something that we can learn. An attitude that I mentioned just now, that we talked a bit about at the beginning of this retreat, is refuge. And refuge is makom she'efshar lismoch. It's a kind of default place where we can feel at home. Again, it's a reminding that we have that. Even if it feels a little bit, I don't know where it is. So in the Buddha Dharma, it's really important attitude to have. It's a sense of safety. It's a sense of a place to rest. It's a sense that we are being held at the back. A lot of that is about things in us which are not to do with experience, but to do with consciousness, with our big heart. In this context, it's to do refuge with us as a community, Sangha. It's refuge in a way we are together and how we are together, the purpose of this, taking refuge in that exists. It's not a kind of total weird thing that's happening here in this retreat, and the rest of the world is just puts us away. We know this place. Supporting the good things in each other. So that sangha, and we can take refuge in that because it really exists and it's important. Refuge in the Dharma is refuge in the truths that we really see that are not just a kind of confusing, illusory delusions. There's something deeper that we meet when we practice. We look and we see things more deeply, and that's a refuge. Dharma. So that's something that we talked about, which is really part of our practice, and it can be and should be there the whole week, and in fact every practice. Just that sense. It's like an invisible kazer kursa. We don't see it, but it's . But we can experience this refuge. I've got a place to lean on. Another attitude I mentioned was kindness. And I gave a story of a monk, Cambodian monk, who I met many years ago. And when asked what his practice is, he says, I go through my body, and each part I ask, how are you? And it answers, thank you, I'm happy. Right ear, Ozin Yamin, how are you? I'm happy. Left ear, how are you? I'm happy. Svatayim, how are you? I'm happy. Finger, how are you? I'm happy. Why I mention this? Because the answer, I am happy, is not that the body doesn't hurt. It's that there is a different dialogue with it around happiness, around care and kindness. This dialogue, whether it hurts or it doesn't hurt, is about remembering this body-mind. I'm happy. And its practice of mindfulness, bit by bit. So taking care is part of the attitude which we need. And that the attitude of remembering, that means we're not here to try and find powers and qualities which we don't have. It's interesting that the five powers, Simi talked about it yesterday and I wrote the book about the five powers, but they're called five spiritual capacities, indriya, which we already have. When we develop them, they become powers. But we already have them. Mindfulness, we already have. Kindness and trust, we already have. Samadhi, we already have. Look at a kid that can play 1 hour with some small two stones. Small kid, that's samadhi. So it's just a sense that remembering means that we don't have to look for qualities we don't have. Mindfulness is not out there. We remember just to be here, which we already know, but we give it importance. So the last 2 or 3 days we've been working with samadhi as well. And samadhi in a way is what this Cambodian monk was doing when he's asking his ear, how are you? It's not only kindness, but it's also samadhi, meaning focusing on what the ear is telling us, focusing on what the breath is telling us, focusing on what the leaves in the trees are telling us, and focusing there. And samadhi is more than a first look, because they're mabat rishon katsar. Samadhi is simply Lohama Bhata Rasa Katsara, a quick look. It's Leela. So we've been working on that, and breath and the body are our main place. And you know that already, as you've been through this before. And today we began to explore a bit more the issue of Vedana, pleasant, unpleasant, dukkha, and where that's coming from. And working with dukkha, the experience of unpleasantness, dissatisfaction, something missing, body's hurting, mind is going crazy, endless kinds of dukkha. It's like as many faces as there are in this hall, that many kinds of dukkha there will be, and more. Working with dukkha, a lot of it is about opening the relationship with the unpleasant or with the dissatisfaction, isipuk. Dukkha is an experience. As an experience, it's something that is built, it's something that is flexible, it's something that is dependent on other things. A trigger, such as the pain in the back, is just a trigger, but after the trigger comes relationship with it. So working with dukkha is giving space to the dukkha, giving interest to it, allowing it to be what it is, trusting that this moment that's what my back is saying, or that's what my mind is saying. Okay, I meet it as it is. I allow it to be what it is. Now let me get close. Our work with dukkha is opening it and seeing that it's a relationship that is up to us. It seems like I can't do anything about my back pain. It's stuck. But actually no dukkha is stuck. So we're kind of touching that place and seeing that the dukkha is happening between things. It's happening between the observer and the observed. Between the awareness of something and the thing. There is a dialogue which creates problem, called problem. But let's undo that called problem. So it's worth at this point in the retreat, we've been a little bit working with preferences, adifuyot, pleasant, unpleasant, dukkha, but also moments of chesed, moments just okayness, moments where there's nothing to be done, moments there's nothing wrong. They're precious moments. We have them as well. They need to be remembered. In the, like I said, the word, Pali word for mindfulness, sati, is remembering, but it's also remembering this, remembering perfection, remembering that we're made of that as well. We're made of the world. There is something very basic in us that is okay. The cells of Ta'im are saying, we're all right, what's the problem? The mind is saying, problem, problem. But the Ta'im will remember, we're okay. So do remember spaces in our experience that maybe don't have content, tochen, don't have a story, don't have a problem, are just very simple. Between two breaths, there is a moment between one moment and the next, between the transitions, mavarim, something is moving, something's changing, something new. We can find ourselves in a place where just, that's fine, nothing wrong now. Really look at those places. At the moment, it's very simple, nothing wrong. We need to give them more importance. Because usually we look over them for the next problem. We sort of jump over, they're too ordinary. There's nothing wrong, that's just not interesting. What's interesting is what's wrong, I need to look and see. So remembering, mindfulness is remembering nothing wrong. And if there is something unpleasant, okay, that's an invitation. And if there is nothing wrong, that's an invitation as well. So we want to give it more space. So finally, I want to go back to the monk again because it's just such a good example. The monk was going through ear, nose, eyes, face, hands, fingers. We go through small details of our experience. If we zoom in to our experience, we cut the tendency to make a kind of sikkum, a narrative, a retzef. It's the retzef that gives us trouble. One thought doesn't give us trouble. Zerema toda'ah, retzef of thinking, problematic thoughts, it's like this, there's a problem, I've got to do this, blah, blah, blah. But one thought, if we really look at it, doesn't give us a problem. So the attitudes that we talked about, refuge, kindness, remembering our nature, all there behind, and then the mindful eye is looking at exactly what's going on. And that's the practice in a way. Looking carefully and breaking up experience instead of a retzef, a sort of summary, sikkum. We break up our experience and what is really happening right now. Okay, so let's come back down to our one seat. Sitting in our place. And feeling we taking our place. It's almost like sacred space. That we're sitting on. Feeling the body-mind fully arrived, fully at home. And as we arrive, as we come home, we expand that feeling to refuge. The home is not just a welcome. It's a welcome from a deep place in us. our awareness that we are here is pure awareness that tells us we are here. That's a home for us. Our deep sense of the potential of this moment, the Dharma, the possibilities in this moment, that's a home. It's very rich. The togetherness, the sense of Sangha. Listening, sensing, loving this body, getting close to this breath right now. This precious breath. Opening one breath, letting it tell its story to us. Places it touches in the body. The movements, the changes. Each breath is new and different and fresh and never happened before. Let it surprise us. And let the breathing invite us to meet Dharma, the truth of this moment, the calm, quiet sense of the breath arriving and going. And if we wish, moving out into the body, exploring the sensations, the touch, listening to what our hands are telling us, what our feet are telling us, what our back is telling us, what our shoulders and arms. Being interested, and a sense that this interest and this awareness with which we touch our lived body already has metta as its basis. It's an attitude of being with, of connecting, of trusting, of listening. None of that would be possible without the heart. The mind may be talking as well. No need to be against the mind. We can be kind to the mind. Allow the mind to be the mind, just as we allow the body to be the body. But in a soft and kind way, we choose the body, adifut. We don't need to fight the mind to choose the body. And just paying attention to pleasant or unpleasant. Again, with a sense of interest, curiosity, allowing pleasant to be pleasant, allowing unpleasant to be unpleasant. But looking at it, what is it that makes it pleasant or unpleasant? What am I doing with it? What's my dialogue with it? Can be difficult experience in the body or feelings that come up that are difficult for us. Watching what it is that makes them difficult for us. What is it? Where is the difficulty? And being aware that we have the freedom to go to a place of non-difficulty. Being with dukkha for a bit and then letting it go. In a sense that our heart and mind is big enough to be able to receive difficulty and not non-difficulty, dukkha and sukha. We can hold them both in our consciousness, which is big and open and ready. And maybe there are spaces between one breath and the next when something arises and passes away, when there's nothing really pulling our attention. It's just a sense of quiet presence, spaces, moments. Just a sense of welcoming those. The ending of things before the beginnings of something else. And in that spirit, the last few minutes of this practice, we just relax into this moment, nothing special to be done. Loving awareness is there, filling our life, filling ourselves.